It came to the end, and this is DJ Mehmet on Global Citizen WMFO Mehmet for 91.5 FM, and that was it for this week. I hope you enjoyed, and I'll be on air hopefully next Saturday at 8 a.m. Again, if you want to keep up with this show, follow our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/globalcitizenradio. Until next time, have a good week, and I leave you with Mike on the mic. Please stay tuned until he is over.
WMFO Medford, 9 o'clock on the dot, here on Saturday morning. This particular Saturday is April 28th. We're at the end of April, everybody. I'm Mike on the mic, happy to be here. I will be here with you until 11 a.m. So for the first hour from 9 to 10, we have an interview that we did on Thursday night here with the great Ellis Hall, who has some definite Boston ties to the city and to the North Shore, which he'll talk about. And he's played with so many great people. He was here during the 4th of July playing with the Pops. Just an excellent interview, and we really appreciate his doing that. It's going to run for about 45 minutes, and I'll have a couple of songs that he participated in, sang on, played on, etc. at the end. And for the 10 o'clock hour, it'll be freeform from anywhere and everywhere, plus your requests. So if you have a request for me, please leave them on the thread on Facebook that I left, or you can call me during this hour, 855-915-9636. 855-915-9636, and we can talk about getting some requests on. All right, so enjoy this excellent interview with Mr. Ellis Hall. This is WMFO.
WMFO 91.5, Medford, Boston. This is the Dance Music Express Music Hour with DJ D. In studio tonight, producer Mike Stewart, production editor Mike Newman, engineer Bob Donovan, and most importantly, from L.A., all the way from L.A., sitting right with us, the ambassador of soul, Ellis Hall. What's going on, my brother?
Good evening, Boston. Oh, yes, indeed. You said 91.5 WMFO. Woo! Good God.
Oh, good memories.
It's a pleasure. Thank y'all for having me on the show. I'm very, very excited to be coming back to the Boston area. It's been a while.
Yeah, we're excited too. We're looking forward to seeing you, and this is great. And thank you for this wonderful opportunity.
All right, Brother Daryl. Amen.
All right. So listen, you got a couple of events coming up. I want to just briefly touch on them. Thursday, May 3rd. the gala.
Yes.
At the Perkins
Thursday,
School.
Yes, indeed.
Tell
the
us
gala
a little bit
at Perkins.
Yeah. Go ahead.
School for the Blind, and we promise folks who sighted wise who come there, we won't put any glasses on them, so they have to walk around like us.
Okay. You haven't lost your touch.
I'm telling you, it's just like it was years ago, hanging out at Jack's and stuff. Oh, man, I'm telling you.
No, but you know what? I'll tell you seriously, brother, to help raise money, and I call it proudly my alma mater. I graduated in 70, and Perkins School for the Blind has been spending a lot of time and taking a lot of time to help folks with their interdependence, meaning us blind folks and those who are visually impaired, to figure out how to do things on their own, accepting the help when it comes, but to make sure they can make their own way. You hear what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that being said, to help them to raise the money to continue, they have amazing stuff over there, including a radio station where you can actually feel the buttons there in Braille.
Oh,
so
wow.
You can close your eyes, Brother Daryl, and act like that. Pleasure. And you said you saw me a while.
Huh? I saw you. Last time I saw you, my God, I was DJing the Holiday Inn in Danvers, Massachusetts. And you had come in that night, and you were hanging out. I don't remember the band. I can't remember the band that was on, and you had jumped in with them. And, oh, my God.
I don't remember either, but they let me. I can't remember the name of the place, though.
Is it Reflections?
Good.
Was that Reflections?
I don't know if it might have been the up
no,
and
no.
up.
No, they had Dodge City, and they had all these.
You're talking about the Hilltop.
That was good.
The Hilltop. Oh yeah, yeah. That they actually tore it down, but they kept the sign. The big cactus sign is still there.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. I had a lot of stakes over there.
Oh man.
But the fact, if you remember the Denver, so that was fun. I come in for a little bit, and you know, we as folks, we don't die. We just metamorph. That's what happens.
There you go.
Yeah, I miss the
Hilltop. Yes,
a lot of good times back then.
Amen.
Oh,
amen.
Yeah.
Well, we're still standing.
I know.
After all this time, I'm honored to, you know, keep putting out this music and having celebrated like the 40th anniversary of Tower of Power.
I know. That's unbelievable.
Still funkifying and having worked with, well, the movie Chicken Run, I was a singing rooster.
Yeah.
I was in the California Raisins. You know, all these different things just gave me the ability to bring some light and love to this world. And that's a great thing.
And we're thankful for that.
And you
Thank
have
you,
a, Ellis, you have another gig coming up? It is that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have, you have the winery coming up in North Washington Street in Boston. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's right. You know, it'll be my first time. I had heard about it.
It's brand spanking new.
And I know. It's amazing. So we get to truly celebrate it and kind of act like we're going to christen it.
There you go.
With some funk and soul and beyond. And I tell folks all the time, hold it inside it. You can hurt yourself. Don't do it.
Yeah, he did his first gig was Kenmore Square. Do you remember that area, Ellis?
Oh, my God. Kenmore Square. Yeah. Spent a lot of time walking up and down those streets.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. Definitely.
A short little story. He stuck me at a party in about a third or four walk up in Kenmore Square, pretty close to the Rat, right in the middle of Kenmore Square. And it was a surprise birthday party for a musician woman who worked in one of the clubs in Boston. And she got home around 11 o'clock, and the party was going pretty good and stuff. And all of a sudden, I'm spinning some vinyl, and she's throwing eggs out the window over our head onto the people below.
Real eggs?
Real eggs. And
whoa!
I said, what are you doing? She goes, she goes, at midnight, we always throw eggs out the window. But I said, it's getting on the turntables and the records.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know, Ellis, I don't know.
That's a whole new expression.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael has some questions.
Please.
Yeah, Michael has some questions for you, and I enjoyed speaking with you, and I'll talk to you again. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay.
Oh, it's a pleasure. All right, Brother Mike Stewart.
Okay. I am Mike Stewart. This is WMFO, 91.5 FM, and WMFO.org, web streaming worldwide. We have on the line from L.A. a musician, an actor, and an ambassador, a teacher, 5-octave range, 3,800 songs, played with James Taylor, Natalie Cole, Patti LaBelle, Toby Keith, Herbie Hancock, George Benson, Bobby Womack, George Duke, and Sheila E., and tons of other people. You started a long journey a long time ago in a place called Claxton, Georgia, with your family. I would like to have you give a little background, because I read your bio, and there's a very loving and supporting family you had, and they relocated to Boston to go to Perkins, and you later on went on to Berkeley. Can you give us a little background on that?
Please. Okay, I will. About a year into my birth, my mom noticed one morning that my eyes turned blue. Now, my mom had a sense of humor and stuff, but she was not into this quote-unquote change. I later told her, well, I really had to become Prank Sumatra. sorry. But she said, we have to take him, and my dad agreed, to a place that would help him get his interdependence. So about 5 years into my birth, we lived in Claxton. And I always tease and say, you know, one side of the sign really says entering, the other side says leaving. It's a real small town. And at that time it was.
And I understand, Ellis, you wrote a song for them.
Yes, I did. And it's so funny because I spoke to the former mayor, and he said, well, you're going to be proud to know you're talking in the song about one stoplight. We now have three.
All right.
I said, oh, progress. But I'll tell you this, fellas, at 5 years old, Mom and Pops had the foresight to take me up to Perkins School. Amazing, like I talk about all the time, the interdependence, learning your own way. They had great teachers there to show you how to do for yourself. Doesn't mean you can't accept help from others. But through that, I started getting into their music program. And from there, learned how to play bass, drums, keyboards, whatever it took to make this music come alive. And I learned at a very age, oh, you don't have to look at the things. Now, when I started, I had a little bit of vision, and I lost it at about 18 in a freak wrestling accident.
Yeah, I read that.
And what I ended up doing, though, before that accident, is playing, like, in the dark. I didn't look at my stuff. I could have looked at it, but I said, no, I better get to know it. I didn't know what would happen later, but talk about preparing for the future. So once I started learning, especially bass, I loved bass and still love bass.
Yeah.
So I have in my house drums, basses, guitars, all sorts of stuff, and I try hard not to drive my wife/manager crazy.
There you go.
The operative word is try.
Yeah.
But now, having said that, once I started learning my musical stuff in school, in 1970, I graduated, and then started putting different bands together until the band, the Ellis Hall Group, came into my vision, as it were. Mm-hmm. I read, it was quite a while ago, about my dear friend Maurice White from Earth, Wind, and Fire, that he had put a vision of his group into a drawer, pulled it out later, and that's what came out as what Earth, Wind, and Fire came out to be. I didn't get that deep, but I did see the Ellis Hall Group kind of developing, and we apparently made a name for ourselves in Jackson, Cambridge. Another place called Jonathan Swift's.
Uh-huh.
Place called the Paradise Club. Mm-hmm. You guys might be too young for all that stuff.
No, we're right with you.
How about the Rise Club?
You know what? I went in there, but I never took my band in there.
Yeah.
I went in, I would always be a guest there.
Yeah.
But these other clubs I mentioned, we always set them on fire. In fact, with Jax, it would get so crazy.
You had the first band to put a line in front of Jax.
Yeah, well, not only that, but if we couldn't get them out the door, my buddies would give me the timbales and they'd hold them up for me and guide me out that way.
Yeah.
And folks would come behind me with rhythm instruments and we'd take everybody out into the Mass Ave.
That was excellent.
It was, that was an experience, I'll tell you. But having said that, working with the Ellis Hall Group, and even before I got into the Ellis Hall Group, I got to sing for Helen Keller's funeral with my choir at Perkins.
Yes.
And I also got to play bass with Milt Jackson, the famous vibist. I don't know if you guys are familiar with his works.
Herb Jackson?
Oh.
Yes.
Milt Jackson was amazing. Milt. He was, okay, there was Lionel Hampton, and then it was Milt Jackson. They both, and I don't, you know, compare different musicians because, you know, I don't compare myself to anybody else. I know I'm going to Ellisize whatever I do. So you better come with your own thing. You better come with it or go home.
Here you go.
Seriously, you know, life is too short for all that. But having said that, I got to work alongside the Tower of Power, Earth, Wind, and Fire, the Spinners, Herbie Hancock. And this is all with the Ellis Hall Group. Now, when Tower of Power saw me the first time, apparently just Chester Thompson was watching me. I opened up for them like 6 or 7 times. Each time, they all came after. And Emilio, the leader, Emilio Castillo, dear friend still, he kept asking me. He said, he later called me E-Man.
Yeah.
You need to join the group. And he asked me to join on drums. He asked me to join on guitar. He asked me to join on bass. Finally, I joined on keyboards in 84 when I moved out to L.A.
Yeah.
And the rest, they say, is history because on the record Power, I'm playing a few different instruments and celebrating the amazingness of that band.
I know.
Yeah, they're unbelievable.
I have to say, Ellis, I experienced your band when you were playing Jax, and I got a hold of Daryl and his brother and some other people. Go, you got to come down and see this guy. You got to see this band. They are rock solid. They are total pro. They will rock you. They will sock you. They will soul you. They will jazz you. What did it say on your shirt? Jazzed, funked, blues. Remember on your shirt?
Oh yeah. No, listen. Whatever it took.
Yeah.
To make you have a musical, and I say that wide openly, musical experience.
Yeah.
And I tell folks, you know, the music, don't pigeonholes are for turkeys who try to put you in them.
Yeah.
You can't pigeonhole me. I'm gonna rock with you. People have tried to put a blonde wig on me. I recently came to town with the Boston Pops.
Yes.
And they had Boston and the gentleman from Boston who played Tom Scholz.
Yes.
They had him up there. And Tom asked me if I'd sit in with the band. So I did, I think it was More Than a Feeling.
Yeah.
And Rock and Roll Band.
I know.
And they said I should have put a blonde wig on me because, you know, whatever it takes, I'm going to make it happen. Hold on tight.
You did never shied away from anything. In fact, I said to all my friends, I said, not only does he get behind the keyboard and he is a killer singer, he gets behind every instrument, drums, congas, bass, guitar. You know, I mean, you had super great. You had Mike, you had Michael, you had David, you had Stanley, you had
Stanley. Yeah.
And
you got all the guys, man. It's amazing. Now, Mike Thompson,
he's
still out here killing it.
Yeah, studio
LA.
Musician. Yeah.
Yes.
And Tony, but you had Funky Freddie Furillo originally. He went to your sound man.
And Freddie Mueller. Yes. Yeah, he was.
Funky
and
Freddie.
I still talk to him. I talk to the guys whenever I can, just to tell them hey and stuff. And
Michael,
you know,
wasn't
back when we come to town, I'll see Stanley and stuff.
And then you brought Tony in on bass from Greensboro, North Carolina, was it?
Yes. Let's see. Was it
Tony?
I believe it was Tony Vaughn.
Tony Vaughn, yeah.
And I believe it's North Carolina. I'm trying to remember the town, but it's Skate Street. But
I think it's Greensboro.
So,
yeah.
And it's still so good.
You guys were just fantastic. And at that time in Boston, what was going on in the rock scene, and you may have been aware of it, in the mid-70s, there was an explosion of different punk and R&B and funk, but rock and roll bands, and labels were coming to sign, so we all were holding in in our breath, they said, Ellis Hall is going to get signed. Ellis Hall is going to get signed.
And yes, yes.
Yeah, and we know that labels had looked at you and stuff, and we were wishing for that for you because we believed in your band so much.
Man, you guys see, and that's what I feel, that energy. Yeah. We finally did get signed, but at the time that we got signed, it was through Norman Connors / CBS.
Yeah.
We made the whole record, but they kept thinking we were a disco band.
Yeah, that was a problem.
It was crazy. On one particular day in September, all these records came back.
Yeah.
And our record never got to come out. So that was crazy. But at some point, like, I have some of those things, and the original EHG will come out and we'll celebrate. And stuff like Itching Your Ear and stuff like another tune we did called Don't Let Nobody Tell You That You Can't Dance or Come Get It While It's Hot.
Yeah.
In fact, I still have a recording from the Paradise Club.
Yeah.
Wow.
That we did in 1978. And people were freaking standing on chairs, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
So proudly, I could see it.
So you're thinking of actually maybe putting... I know a lot of bands are revisiting the past and reissuing stuff in the past, so you're thinking about that.
Oh, yeah. Because
we're hoping.
Right now, you had mentioned... God bless you. We had mentioned, or you had mentioned 3,800 songs. It's beyond 4,000 now that I've written over the years. But I still revisit the EHG stuff. And, you know, so many things, like I have songs and movies and television and all that.
Yeah, we're going to get onto your acting in a minute.
Absolutely. I have a question. Well, I have two questions, actually. Yeah. Wasn't there a female singer?
There was two female singers in the band.
Okay, do you want to talk about them? Do you remember? Okay, good.
Yes, one with Patty. Yes, okay. Pat Thomason, and now it's Pat Thomason Middleton. She married a minister.
Yeah.
She lives in New Jersey. We still talk. She's not singing, although she should be.
Okay.
But her daughter... And I believe it's Teresa, amazing singer. So what they say, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah.
But we still talk about those old days. And of course, along with Pat Thomason, Middleton, I ended up having Patty Unitas. So I went out and got myself two pats on the back.
All right.
But now, sadly, Miss Patty Unitas passed on.
Oh,
she got married.
Sorry to hear that.
But she was just us. Astounding singer. Both of them were astounding singers.
You put such a great band together, and I watched the video of them singing, and I just wish we could have that again. I'm being greedy, looking toward the past, but
you know what, brother? And as we can, I celebrate the past, just like when I do some of the Tower stuff.
Yeah.
I try to bring it to a new level. It's not what it was. It's what it is, and we still celebrate the music with EHG. We will have a reunion, and I will call you guys and say, hey,
absolutely.
I'll find a way to get it to you, and you say, come on down and see it. But at the City Winery, we're going to do some funk, and I've got, I can't remember the name of the band, but Vinny Sabatino is in the band. He's putting it together for me, along with some killer musicians. So that May 8th, you will feel an earthquake from Boston, I pray, to California.
Right. Ellis, I have another question.
Please, sir.
I want to know what was Ray's reaction when he heard you.
That's a good question.
We got to talk about Ray Charles. What's going on here?
Okay, all right. So we're at this. Well, it's a party. West LA Music was a music store, and they were putting this party together. And they kept telling me, "Hey, Ellis, we're glad we got your band because Ray Charles he wants to come in and see the band." I said, "Well, cool." I didn't know if he was going to make it because a lot of people tell you a lot of things.
Yeah.
He walks in and he states to, I believe it's my dear friend Rick Waite, that, hey, I want to meet that guy who's singing. So my production manager at the time, BC, he comes and grabs me as I'm playing my solo. So it was solo interruptus. We ran, practically fell off the stage as we're trying to get off the stage to go and meet. Later, I called him Papa Ray, but get to meet Mr. Ray Charles. And he's jumping up and down like a Mexican jumping bean, because he's so excited. And so I gave him a CD. He gave me a hug. He says, I'll call you. He called me the next day and he said, why the I do a bleep. Why haven't I heard of you? I'm going to have to take some serious
I heard all about that.
Oh, no, no, no. He went all the way in and he said, I want to sign you. So I signed to his crossover label. It was only he and I signed to the label. And we started making the record, kind of finished it. We never really got to seriously mix it because he passed away, but he wanted it to come out. So it came out on June 1st, 2004.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm going to, I have the masters. I'm going to remix it and do some things to it. But it was a moment in time to say that I got to work and hang out and even sing with the fabulous Papa Ray Charles.
Oh, that's excellent. Great.
We're going to jump away from the music for a second. We're going to talk to you about your acting career in TV and movies.
We
saw you doing the little backstage thing with Jamie Foxx on the set of Ray. You want to give us a little fill-in on that?
Well, that's funny, too, because Ray kept calling me as he was doing the movie. Ellis, you got to come down and see the movie. Okay, Papa Ray, I'm going to see what I can do. We figured out a way to get down there. Jamie's there. He comes and practically grabs me by the collar. Come on, you gotta come backstage. Come on, we're gonna hang out. We went to this piano. I sat down and I start singing Georgia. Now, as I'm singing Georgia, you notice he's in the Ray character.
Yes, he is.
So, you know, it's a truly blind man's bluff.
There you go.
No pun intended.
I couldn't resist. But Jamie and I, we don't talk that often. I love him to pieces. I'm so amazed to see his success. And I did say see. To feel all of his amazingness. And I pray we get together again soon.
Very talented.
Oh, man. But, you know, he truly swallowed the Ray Charles character. Don't you agree?
Yeah. I saw some of it. Yeah, it looks good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, that being said, you know, having worked with Jamie in that little instance, and then they wanted me to do something else in the movie, but I was out on the road too. You know, you got to make that living. So, but working with Ray until he passed. And then he turned me on to the symphonies. Now, during that time, I started doing Catch Me If You Can, the first Big Mama's House.
Yes, yeah.
Chicken Run, you know, so all these different movies. I tell folks, only in America can you go from being a teenage nut to a California raisin to a singing rooster.
Here you go. And I see you've actually acted on stage. With the gospel act.
Yes. What do they call this fabulous play? The Gospel at Colonus.
Yes.
And I was Oedipus, and another actor, Brother Roger, amazing. And he spoke some of the lines, and I sang some of the lines and spoke a couple of lines. And it was, I hadn't acted since high school, you guys. But I won an award.
There you go.
You know, so it's like, what in the world? But the fabulous Miss Andy Chapman, she was an amazing coach, telling me what to do. She says, nope, don't make your emotion too wide. Make it so people feel it. And so I, you know, A Voice Foretold is one of the songs I had to sing, and it was a cappella. And we had people crying. Amen.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, I see also you did a Play for Change, a video with the Doobie Brothers.
Oh, did you see that?
Yes. Yeah. That was great. Yeah.
You played with these different people that were in different parts of the world with the Doobies.
Yes.
And you were like congealed into one loving mass, I would say, of music. Want to give us a little background on that, Ellis?
Well, Playing for Change, for those of you out there who don't know, they raise money, literally, to build schools all over the place and help kids make their way through music. Brother Mark Johnson was the one who asked me. He talked to my loving Layala, and convinced us, yeah, we need to come do this. They asked me to come and sing with the Doobie Brothers. Now, how ironic that I get to sing with them, because at one time I was talking with my dear friend Michael McDonald.
Yeah.
And I said, Michael, I'm going to be like you. And he starts laughing. But I seriously came and did listen to the music. And both Tommy Johnson and Pat Simmons are talking about me coming to sing with them. So you may see us on tour together. All watch right. out.
Also, the United Nations compilation Against Human Trafficking, and you were singing.
Oh, you got it. Wow.
Yeah, Sting's Set Them Free. I'd like to hear a little bit about that.
Well, I wrote a song, and they took the song Be the Change, and they also have another one in the wings called Girl, You're Not in Kansas Anymore. Now, you're going to hear that one when we come to the City Winery. And that's one of the ones, it was a favorite of Ray's, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's amazing how these songs take on themselves. And you said, Set Them Free. It's interesting because Rock Against Trafficking that I'm working on, my dear friend Gary Miller, it's about to come out. They had Glenn Hughes, and he was with, I think he's with Deep Purple now.
Yeah,
he was with them.
He was a mainstay vocalist of Deep Purple and a couple other bands. He's done some with Joe Bonamassa also.
Oh, yeah. Well, the song I sang, Let Your Soul Be Your Pilot, is about to be released, and I pray that you guys end up playing it on your stations.
We'd love to. Just send it to us. We will play it.
You're going to get it.
Definitely, definitely send it out. Free. We'll get it on. We'll definitely get it on. No problem.
Oh, yeah. It has a serious emotion about it. All the songs you'll hear on the record, you know, some rock things, some soul things. Also, we did a version of Set Them Free. We have to finish it up and mix it.
Yeah.
And then Gary and I talk about going into production. He's one of these fine English blokes.
Oh, there you go. I also saw...
You do that pretty good.
Yes.
Hey, you know, he's both tight and all that kind of stuff.
I imagine you will be Dude and Daryl after we get off the air.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that'd be funny.
Hey, my brother, right?
You know, you guys, when I went to England the first time, I got to tell you this, I was on the road with Tower of Power.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I kept insisting for Emilio, I said, hey, Mimi, we got to go and chase a double-decker bus. We got to catch one. So we tried to catch it. We didn't get to it. But that was one of the things I wanted to do. And I still want to ride one of those suckers.
I also saw you did a video for Keyscape's event in L.A. of Tiny Dancer, Elton John. I think in Elton's doing a... Yeah, Elton's been doing some stuff lately, yeah.
Well, you know that Caleb Quay... produced Elton, I think, for the first 10 records.
That's a long time ago.
I'm not
sure. Yeah.
Well, what I found out, he looked at it because he had come to one of my jam sessions and hung out and was playing with me. He's an amazing guitarist. And he said, oh my God, what you've done to that song. It's unbelievable. With a single accent, he was practically swearing over the photos. Do I have to bleep you or something? You know. But no, it was amazing. I don't know if Brother Elton has heard it. I pray he does. What an amazing talent. And, you know, it's also amazing because he does all of these different things to help heal the world.
Yes.
Including the AIDS situation. And I wrote a song with a dear friend of mine, Daryl Carter, mm-hmm. who wrote A Woman's Gotta Have It for Bobby Womack, among many other songs. Mm-hmm. But we wrote a song called Sending Up a Prayer for the Cure, and then in parentheses, AIDS. I don't know if Elton's ever heard it, but I have to get him a copy. And, you know, all these things happen for a reason. And I appreciate you guys looking into all this and kind of bringing my past back to me. It's like a lot of these things I forget about. You know, once I do them, I just know they're out there.
Well, we're trying to convince you to come back home is what we're let's get right to the point.
Yeah, there you go.
Daryl said he had some extra rooms.
There you go.
Daryl, I didn't know we were moving in. Bro.
There you go.
He lives in the woods, too. So if you're embarrassed by him, people won't associate with him.
Yeah, they love me, Ellis, but they keep me out of sight, out of mind. You know what I mean? I don't know what's up with that.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, my God. That's funny. Well, you know, you just walk into a room. I'm here. I'm Daryl, and I'm going to make you dance. So get on up here.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
So I even have some more points here. We talked previously about the Tower of Power. I saw the 40th anniversary on PBS here. And you were out there singing, you were kicking it and stuff. And that's a great band with a great legacy. Obviously, at some point, you went from Boston, the Ellis Hall Group. And some of the people actually followed you out to L.A., some people in the band, and did like Michael Thompson and stuff. But tell us about your journey out to, was it Oakland? Is they're from Tower Power?
They're from Oakland, but I always lived in L.A.
Yeah, okay.
And we would get together. Now, what's really freaky about this, and I just remembered this, in 1976, I went out there. I and my first wife, went out there, and somehow they found out I was there.
Yeah.
We had gone first to L.A., but then we went to San Francisco, and I hung out and jammed with them and stuff. And that was a freaky thing because I didn't know that approximately 8 years later, I'd be in the band.
Wow.
So when I joined, they had, I think it was 11 or 12 members, and then they cut it down to 9.
Yeah.
Because apparently I took up a lot of space, you know, to make all the things happen. And I don't know if you guys have heard the Power album with Go Get It With Your Good Credit and tune I wrote called Some Days Were Meant for Rain that Emilio heard in 1976. And he told me at the time, he says, I don't know how long it takes, but I'm going to record that song.
Yeah.
And boy, did he.
Anything of yours, you send it his way, we will play it.
Oh, God bless y'all.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I have heard the station. I've heard of y'all.
Yeah.
Continued great success, y'all. Just keep bringing the light and the love and the music as you do.
Well, I can't think of a nicer and more inspiring, always happy, bringing joy people into people's life as a person like yourself. And I say that from the heart because always experienced you since the mid-70s when you basically won my ear back at Jack's.
Well said, Michael.
And you never let it go.
Yeah, well said. And I second that as well.
Hey,
yes, sir.
I saw you were back in Boston do the 4th of July for the Boston Pops. That was pretty cool.
Did you see that madness?
Yes.
We had 500,000 freaking people getting crazy with us.
Yeah.
And that was, every once in a while, we'll show it on our website.
Yeah.
And we did a version of Heard It Through the Grapevine, and you know, it's like, hold on tight, you know, jumping up and down and doing what we do. But and of course Dennis Elves, who's the creative director of the Boston Pops, I love him to pieces and back together.
Yeah.
My friend Jim Gwynn plays drums with him, and all the folks who have just brought us into the fold of the Boston Pops. They want us to come back again. So keep an eye on things. We'll let you know.
Yeah, stay in touch with us. Absolutely.
Absolutely. My wife and Joe will say, all right, Daryl. All right, Mike and Bob. And therefore and forthwith. Here we go.
You might have us there next winter because we've had enough of this snow stuff out here. I can tell you that right now.
Oh, let me tell you, man. Snow. That's one of the reasons why I moved out to LA, man. I got tired of you could freeze things off you didn't know you had.
Hey Ellis.
Yes.
Did you ever live in Malden?
I did.
On Walnut Street?
I didn't know that.
On Walnut Street? Down the street from the park?
I thought it was Walnut.
Because I lived one block up the street from you.
Did you really?
I was driving down the street.
Or was it Holyoke? I can't remember.
I was driving down the street and I go, damn, that looks like Ellis. What's he doing in Malden? I should have invited you over the house. I could have had your mother make dinner for you and hang out with you.
Wow. That's a trip.
That was a long time ago, huh?
I lived in Malden. I lived in, Somerville for a minute.
Yeah.
Also, for God's sake, I lived out in Milford. You all know where Milford
is?
Wow,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's out there. You don't want to walk. In fact, you talked about Freddie.
Yeah.
Freddie Mueller, my bass player, later became the sound person.
Yeah.
We met because I came in from Milford to Framingham. And he had a VW bus, and it was in the dead of winter, and the heat didn't work. Now, you had to love each other to want to get together at that time and talk about music. And we're still dear friends to this day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a couple
of... yes, I lived in Malden.
That's cool. We were neighbors. You know, you added to the flavor of Malden. We had a lot of great artists. You know, we had Norman Greenbaum and the Ames Brothers and Johnny
Norman
A.
Norman Greenbaum?
Yes.
You're kidding.
He lived right in Suffolk Square, a couple blocks down. Yeah. And we had Johnny A., you know, an instrumentalist that you probably know of. And we had the band Extreme.
And More Than Words.
Oh, yes. In your neighborhood?
Yes, yes. The list of people that got on, and the guy from the Newhawks, I can't think of his name.
And yeah, I know, man.
He lived across the hall from my girlfriend on the other side of Malden. He passed away a few years ago. But we had some great, and you just added to that flavor of about 30 to 40 musicians that either were born or lived in Malden. I salute you for just visiting our town.
You know, I didn't know. I knew Extreme was from the Boston area. I didn't know they're from Malden.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Or Norman Greenbaum. I wasn't sure where he was from. But that one hit was explosive for him.
Yeah, yeah. And the Ames brothers also, Ed Ames, were from the Suffolk Square area too. And he was on that famous skit in Johnny Carson with the throwing the tomahawk. You know, that you probably
can I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
everybody.
Funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember.
And there's many more great musicians. We have some really great talent that's in there now. I'm in a band of 30 plus years, but there's other people like Daniel
What's
Morelia.
What's the name of the band?
The Brigands, a garage rock band. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah. And we have some great talent that's still in the city, and they're still coming to Malden. It's great. Hey, I got a couple more for you.
Please, sir.
And this ties into you, How to Sing Your Soul. And it's kind of basically about your life. And there's a mention of Nelson Mandela in it. Can you kind of give us the backstory on that?
I'll tell you. In 1997, I got to go to South Africa.
Yeah.
And then Zimbabwe. And it was the African-American trade is what they called it. I got to meet Mr. Mandela. Now, I'll tell you, you know, there are times in your life, you know, you can feel people's magic.
Yeah.
That was one, and meeting Miss Oprah Winfrey was another.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's great.
So I've had most amazing, blessed times and hanging with crazy characters like yourselves. I get to talk to you on the phone. But, you know, what's really cool is you meet folks and you notice, no matter what, if you're sure about yourself, you don't have to put on any airs. I always say insecurity speaks the loudest. Mr. Mandela was sure about his worth, not being better or not being worse than anyone else. And like Miss Winfrey, and I pray for myself to just be that light for others, because in being that light, I become a light for myself, just to spread the music and the love and the light and the laughter. Make you laugh. You know?
Well, absolutely. You've had a lot of interesting people say a lot of great stuff about you. Former President Clinton, Ray Charles. Maurice White from Earth, Wind, and Fire. Stevie Wonder.
Yes,
they all said, you got to listen to this guy. He's got the stuff.
That's right.
Well, Stevie and I, and again, Ray and I, at some point, I want to sing with my brother Jose Feliciano and play some double guitar with him. He's an amazing spirit, bringing that light. You know, and I work with Ronnie Millsaps. I work with a lot of blind guys. Yeah. You know, I work with Toto, for God's sake.
There you go.
In the studio, and just had the time of my life. working with all these different people, and I'm just getting started, fellas. Mm-hmm. There's some things coming down the pike that's going to blow your minds, and just enjoy, and I pray we get to stay in touch.
Well, absolutely, definitely.
One of the last things, and you can fill me in if there's, I've missed anything. You did a thing with Kenny G. What does it take? Excellent. Get a little background on that.
Indeed.
And I got to tell you, Ellis, that's my opening song on my show. I do my show here Mondays at 11 a.m. every other Monday, and that's my opening.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
With the hand claps and all that stuff.
Yeah, I love it, man. It's great. I just, you know, it's just, I use it every time as my opening. Yeah, it's great.
Well, it's weird because I was talking with, you know, Michael Narda is the producer of record, but it was Preston Glass who really worked on it and did a lot of things, and we had a great time. I talked with him the other day. But George Benson told Kenny G, you need to make sure that you and Ellis sing and play together. So Kenny G sent a message to my wife, Ajir Leala, said, anytime Ellis wants to come play, sing, whatever, he can do it. So it's amazing how the world comes together. And it sold over 5 million freaking records.
There you go.
Yeah.
Doesn't hurt. Hey, we'd like to have you recap where you're coming to play in Boston, the 3rd and the 8th.
Right.
Please
all right,
tell us.
So we're coming May 3rd. We're doing this show for Perkins. Those who can come see it, we're raising lots of money for them. Amen. And the school choir is going to get up there and sing. We're doing Soul Man. We're doing Drift Away and a couple of Ray things. And
excellent.
We're going to act like we got no coup. It's all out the window.
And I imagine they have websites up and Facebook sites where people can contact them?
Oh, yeah, and it'll be on our site, too, ellishall.com.
Yes. Okay.
Okay, good.
And I believe we have our Twitter, Ellis Hall Music, and we have Instagram, Ellis Hall Music, and official Ellis Hall is our page for Facebook and stuff. Also, now, I leave Perkins, and we're going right up to New York. So those who might be in the area of Saratoga Springs, we're playing this place called the Lena, or Cafe Lena. Now, interestingly enough, they have horses up there. So they would talk about putting a horse on me with a cowboy hat and say, yee-haw.
I want to see that, I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, it's going to be something interesting. Yeah. Now, we come back from there. And we, of course, are doing, and I believe it's the 8th.
8th, yeah.
That's great. Yep,
May. Yeah.
Brand spanking
we're doing
new club.
The City Winery.
Yes.
And I'm so excited.
North Washington Street.
Yeah.
Is that where it is? Thank you, brother. Yep. It's called Point and Click. Ellis, you're here.
Yeah, you're gonna be breaking in that club.
Oh, I'm so excited because, and fellas, I'm going to warn you, wait till you hear the band.
All right.
We're going to slap you. You know, I'll do a couple of songs myself to kind of ease into it, but then all bets are off.
There you go.
Okay.
Okay, Ellis, have we covered anything that you would like us to ask you or anything you'd like to add before we do a wrap-up here?
You know, you guys have hit it all. If you get a chance, if you haven't seen the Whoopi Goldberg Charlie Sheen movie, that's at 9/11. On the 9/11 soundtrack, I have a song called From the Inside. And I'll have to get you guys a copy of it. You might want to play it. It's really, really, really intense. And then there's a new movie coming out. And as soon as it does come out, I'll get you a copy of that because it can be played for Christmas and played for everything else. The song is called Once Upon an Evening Star. The name of the movie is Revival. And I'm in the movie, and I'm marrying the couple. It's the first miracle Jesus does of turning water into wine. I'm the person of record.
There you go.
They call me the master of the feast. So it's coming out soon.
Excellent. Well, Ellis, this has been a treat. I would like to say, here's a person who's multi-talented, who has played with all the greats, has a great voice, unforgettable, one of the nicest persons in the business. I am so delighted we had this conversation, me and Daryl and Mike and Bob. Thank you from WMFO 91.5 FM in Medford, and we hope to hear from you again. I appreciate what you did for us today.
But you got to say 91.5
91.
Yeah.
Ellis Hall. Thank you, brother. We love you.
Chakalaka. Take care.
Take
right,
care,
my man.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
91.5 WMFO Medford.
Standing by the highway, gonna do it her way, hitching a ride on anything out of town. She said, lay by, lagging down a diesel, hanging with a weasel, let her off somewhere in the desert sun, cause she wouldn't give him some. You think the grass is greener, but like a cycle's green and brown. Survival of the fittest, when the chips are down. Innocence chasing dreams, welcome to the world. Ugliness and pretty, maze of truth and lies called the promised land. Where will she stand? Cynical indifference, just in her commitment. Sex sells, does she wanna play the game? Is conscience surprise playing? Scare a revelation, what you see ain't all. Chance to make it better. My love.